Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. If somebody can read verses 10 through 15, and then if somebody can read 16 through 23.
And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And ye being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgotten you all trespasses, but blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Amen.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntarily humility and worshiping of the angels, intruding in those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by the joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increased of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though in the living world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not.
Amen. Touch not, taste not, and handle not. Amen. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you, O God, just for who you are, to know that you are God all by yourself, and beside you there is none other. Father God, we pray that, Lord, you just have your way, even in this Bible study. God, that you will speak to our hearts, that you would just, open up our hearts to your will for our lives. Open up your heart, just that we can just grow in the deeper depths of your love, oh God, in your spirit, that your spirit will just continue to be quickened and manifested even in us. Oh God, even this treasure that you've given us, oh God, through the Holy Ghost, God, we pray, oh God, that you just continue to illumine, that you just continue to just reveal your word to us. May we hide it in our hearts, oh God, that we might not sin against you. May your word be a lamp unto our feet and even a light unto our path. May your word just continue to reverberate and pierce, oh God, even through the surface, of our flesh, the surface of what we think, the surface of what we feel. May your word penetrate even through the surface of our emotions, that it will speak to the crooks in our heart, that, Lord, that word won't stop on the shallow ground, but, Lord, but it will reach the depths of our heart, oh God, that it may bring forth fruit even in our lives. God, we love you. We bless you, oh God. Crucify my very flesh, oh God, right now, in the name of Jesus, that you will have your way. God, we love you and we bless you, for it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. Thank God for Colossians. And we're talking about tonight, we're going to talk about living from above, living in that place where Christ has set our affections on things above and not on things of this world. Amen. And then there was one more verse that I was looking at for tonight, and that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, says, fight the good fight of faith. This is what Paul was instructing Timothy to do. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold unto eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, I give thee charge in sight of God, who quickeneth all things, before Christ Jesus, before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession. And that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But even before that, it says in verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, because Timothy was a young man and he had to flee a lot of things and corruption and even lust and different things. Paul was instructing him. He says, but follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Amen. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. When we talk about living from above or setting our affections on things above and how to live in this world, that verse is going to be crucial. Amen. We're going to look at that. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, flee youthful lust that he had charged Timothy earlier on in this chapter, but follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And then he says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold until eternal life. And we see that word fight, right? We see that word fight. A lot of times we see that word fight and we think we got to fight somebody else. Amen. But that word fight is not there for us to fight somebody else. But that word fight is more referring to laying hold unto righteousness, fighting the good fight of faith, not to fight somebody else. Amen. But to deal with the flesh, to deal with the carnality that's even in us, that we will continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And guess what? He says, lay hold to eternal life in verse 12, right? And when he says lay hold unto eternal life, that's not talking about laying hold for our salvation. That's not talking about laying hold for to be saved or laying hold of heaven. But what that means is lay hold to the affections, to set our affections on eternity, on things above. Amen. To not set our affections on things of this world, but set our affections on things above. And we're going to be looking at that. And thou hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. But if we could just turn back for a second, back to Colossians, before we go back there, we're going to be in Colossians tonight. When it says here in the latter part, we're going to work backwards just a little bit for a second, right? This is the Colossian church, or those in Colossian that Paul was preaching to. And Paul was writing these letters. There was so much going on. There was so much influence going on in this church. There was Gnosticism, right? There was a spirit of Gnosticism. There was a spirit of knowledge. The spirit of knowledge, which is worldly knowledge, which is devilish knowledge. Amen. The spirit of Gnosticism that in here that it was talking about in verse 8 of chapter 2, where he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after also the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. And when you talk about philosophy, there were the Epicureans, right? That Paul dealt with, that spirit of Gnosticism, spirit of knowledge, finding knowledge. And we see it. Y'all, we see it now. We see it in this time that we live in, when people are, it's more and more, it's an Illuminati spirit. You know, the third eye, and they hold up this and they give three fingers or whatever. We see it. We see it in the tattoos. We see it in the music. We see it on the internet. And many of the things that we witness even in this world, and it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And guess what, y'all? It's all satanic. It's satanic. And you know it's satanic, that it wasn't something invented, but even in the very Garden of Gethsemane, that was Satan's way to tempt Eve. Even in the garden, where he told her that she should desire of the fruit of good and evil. He said, she saw it was pleasing to the eye, right? It was desired, she desired to eat it. And Satan told her, the day you eat it, your eyes will be open. Your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Amen. That's the spirit. And so we talk about, we saw the lust of the flesh, right? We see the lust of the eye in the garden, and we see the very pride of life. Amen. We see those three things. And guess what? That's still in the world now. That's what we deal with. The lust of the flesh, right? Our flesh wants it because it's going to make us feel good. The lust of the eye, that means we desire stuff. You can have a brand new engine in a car, but a car, if the car is kind of beat up looking, don't look the best, we don't want the car. Our flesh is made up where we would desire to have something that's better looking, but the engine can be tore up from the floor up. Right? But that's this world. Listen, that's this world that we live in. And not only that, when you look at the internet, when you look at this world, when you look at reality shows and all this stuff that's going on in our land, that's it right there. The desire, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And that scripture is found in the book of 1 John. Amen. 1 or 2 John, that scripture is found. And you look at these people, and you look at images, and you look at all that Satan is promoting, right? And how these images, even in the Old Testament, he would promote images for us to chase after these images, for us to look like. And I'm not even going to name any of these reality stars, but we try to mimic and we try to emulate all these fads and all these idolatries. And I can look at these people and look at them, and we say that's what the world calls beautiful. Some of them got reality shows. I'm not going to say them. Some of them got the housewife reality shows. They got their hair all made up and just, amen, exercising, working to please their body, right? Working to promote some image, right? But when you look in their eyes, these people are bound and they're miserable and they're not, they don't know what joy is. Only Christ can give you that. So here Paul tells them in Colossians chapter 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies, through vain deceit. And then he also mentions through the tradition of men, or after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. And what the enemy wants to do, he wants to paint a picture that we need the fulfillment of this world. Amen. We need to be complete of this world. We need the satisfaction of this world. And listen, that's why our youth and our young people, our children, every young person in the church, in your family, in your home. Amen. To the babies. We can't stop telling them how much they're loved. Mm-hmm. We can't stop telling them, most of all, that Christ loves them. We can't stop telling them of who they are and what they have in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, there's a spirit of peer pressure. There's a spirit. There's an Instagram. Right? Instagram. Images. Facebook. TikTok. All these are geared for the spirit of peer pressure, for the spirit of validation, because our children have to be validated. And listen, and when you look at what's going on in Philadelphia, the gun murders, the murders of the gun violence is off the charts. Mm. It's off the charts. And guess what, y'all? Mm-hmm. It starts with the fathers. Me. It starts with fathers. We've got to validate our sons. And we've got to validate our daughters. Amen. And I'm just, mm-hmm. I just seen an interview of right in Franklin Mills, young man had, man, his whole life in front of him, got killed, gunned down in Franklin Mills. And our poor mother, my heart went out. Amen. But listen, and I'm telling you, y'all, and I talk about it on Sunday on how there's a perpetuity. We talk about living from above. Right? Setting our affections on things above. I know we've heard that scripture preached a million times, but guess what? We're going to talk about it again tonight, because our fulfillment, our joy, the fruits of the Spirit, they come from up above. This earth can't do it. This world can't do it. The substance can't do it. The pill can't do it. The bottle can't do it. The smoke, marijuana, the tattoos, and these nose rings, and all this other stuff, our children, even our grown folk, they're crying out. They're crying out. People are crying out for fulfillment. And the devil's here to give them. Give it to them. Give it to them. Giving it to them. To lead them further in bondage. We're fulfilled in Christ, y'all. And here it says, and right in Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Amen. Because God has blessed him and has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And in verse 17 of Colossians chapter 1, it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means he made all things. By him all things consist. And guess what? By him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, the first, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Listen, listen, y'all, listen, for it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that in the Son all fullness should dwell. Amen. All fullness should dwell, because he perfectly obeyed what he had in the beginning of time, the glory that he shared with the Father that it talks about in John chapter 17. God, I've glorified you. I've obeyed your commandment. Now glorify me with the glory that we had together before the world was. And then it says here in verse 19, verse 20, chapter 1 of Colossians, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether there be things on earth or things in heaven. Amen. And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you as holy, unblameable, and reprovable in his sight. Then if we skip back over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're complete. You are complete. You're complete in him. And I think it was Minister Williams who talked about and how this world and how we're, you know, man is searching, right? The Bible says that the soul of man is never satisfied. Amen. The appetites of man can never be satisfied. The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 16, talks about the soul. For what does it profit? 16:26. What does it profit? Verse 25 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so when we see this, for in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body. We are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We're complete. We're complete. And now that we're complete, what this verse deals with is we don't need to add anything that this world has to offer to fulfill our completion. We're complete in Christ. And guess what? We must grow in who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? And I think, and when we look at what the devil does, we have, and I talked about Sunday, we have a perpetualness. Listen. We are all born. We are born with a longing. All of us. And listen, and that longing ain't talking about eat, drink, be merry, and then we die. Right? Live our best life, and then we die. Listen, if I'm going to live my best life, all that we're going through, the headache and the heartache, and then at 75, boom, we kick the bucket, and that's it, lights out. For who? For what? Guess what? We're going to do like they do in Corinth. Amen? We're going to eat, drink, and be merry. Amen? And Paul had to deal with it in dealing with the doctrine of the resurrection to let them know that, listen, evil communication corrupts the spirit. Amen? We have to be holy. We have to live holy because be holy as God is holy. Amen? Mm-hmm. We know better than that. And guess what? And we desire things. If I can just get this next car, get this next promotion, get this next this, get this next that. Next thing you know, listen, we thought we would be farther along. We're in our 50s, late 40s, 50s and 60s, and we spend life as the dog chasing the tail, chasing, trying to get something. Amen? And it's like when you get it, when you get something, you get that promotion, you get that car, you get that successful, you get that house on the hill, guess what? It creates more emptiness in us. The more things we go after in this life, guess what? It produces leanness in the soul. The children of Israel, they desired quail. They said, Lord, give us quail. And the Lord sent them quail. They were batting it out the air. And listen, as they were eating it and biting it in their mouth, the Bible says, He sent leanness to their souls. Amen. What does it profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his very soul? And this is what was going on in the book of Colossians. They were chasing knowledge, chasing philosophy, chasing this Illuminati spirit, and they were chasing tradition and religion. Guess what? And when you get there, you'd be like, that's it? That's all there was? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. Amen. You can have the whole wide world. Just give me Jesus. Amen. Just give me Jesus. Just because guess what? I'm fulfilled in Christ. Amen. I'm sustained in him. I'm validated in him. Just give me Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen. in Colossians, right? We talked about, and this is important. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about living above, life above. Life above is a life of fulfillment that can only be found through a relationship in the Word of God. Amen. And so listen, as we read through this, we're going to come back to verse 13, 14, 15. Amen. Which talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We will look at verse 12. We're going to come right back to it. What Christ has accomplished for us on the cross, right? But here in back in the end of chapter 2, right? In verse 16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. And that's what he said. They're not even the real thing. These holy days, these Sabbath days, these new moons, these conferences, these consecration services, and all these things, and people saying they abstain from meat, all these things, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels. Voluntary humility, people going on quests and fast or volunteering. And a lot of people feel better after they volunteer. But guess what? Volunteering can't do nothing to save your soul from the sin or from being delivered. Then he goes on to say those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding to the head. Verse 19, if you see that word head, is a capital H, not holding to Christ, from which all the body of the joints and the bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, right, from the rudiments of this world, why as though living in the world, are you subject to his ordinances? He says, touch not, taste not, which all things are to perish by its using. Amen. So when we talked about subject, why are you subject to his ordinances? Since believers have been released from ritualistic observances. Amen. Or any, why should they let others bind them down? And again, no human work can be added to the merit of Christ's death. His work on the cross is the only acceptable work in God's eyes, right? And so they were doing these things. They were celebrating times. They were the new moons, Passover feasts, and all these things. And guess what, y'all? It was a spirit of religion. It was a spirit of religion. It was a spirit of religion that was literally blinding their eyes from their deliverance. Listen, it's easier to be religious than to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Y'all know that? Mm-hmm. It's easier for me to go through church, praise and give God worship, even preach. That's easier to do than me come home and live right. That's easier. And so to make up for, and that's what was going on in 1 Corinthians chapter, in the Corinthian church. It was the same thing. They had gifts, the anointing, could speak in tongues. We can do the church in our sleep. Y'all know that? We can have church in our sleep. We were born in the church, raised in the church. So we know how to do the church. And guess what? We can be a good person, but not be a delivered person. And so what Paul went on to say, he says, you have all these things going on, right? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines. Guess what, y'all? My white tie on the first Sunday and the black suit, and don't get me wrong, there's some things we do. There's some things we do. There's some things we do to reverence God in the house of the Lord. There's some traditions, amen, that follow the word of God. But guess what? No, we need to reverence God. But guess what? We don't follow rules in the church, amen, thinking that's going to make us holier. No, you can put a veil over your head, have a dress down to your ankles. Amen. Mm-hmm. Listen, that's not the point. The point is fall in love with Jesus Christ first. Get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Get in this word. Amen. And guess what? Amen. That's the way it ought to work. And guess what?
Yeah.
Listen, I grew up in the church. Guess what? Get in the word. Talk about death. Talk about brokenness. Talk about love. It's the love of Christ that must compel us. And we must judge that if Christ died, then we're all dead. We've got, listen, it's the love of Christ. Amen. That he commended for us. We grow in love. That's why we started that love relationship class. Because people got to fall in love to be in relationship. And it's a relationship that's going to show me that if I'm not dressing right, amen, it's the Holy Spirit that'll show me. I'd rather train somebody in the word. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost deal with them and change the person.
Yeah. Yes.
Not somebody just sit back, now you know. That skirt she had on in the church. I'm gonna say something to the person about something they got on. Pray about it. Make sure you know them. You love them. But if the first thing when somebody walks in off the street, the first thing you do is look at their tattoo, you're off. Listen, we've got to be delivered. I'm worried about their spiritual deliverance first. Don't get me wrong. I see it. We all see it. But we've got to pray for the soul of that person. And then once they come into love, come into a relationship, amen, then the Holy Ghost will direct them and lead them how to dress. Now, am I preaching? Y'all, the women come in and wear pants? No. Amen. That's not what I'm preaching. Put your skirt on.
Amen.
But what I'm saying is we get off. We let these church things divide us. Amen. And we lose sight of the love. We get caught up, and that's what was going on. They would get caught up in the tradition of rules. That's what was going on. And so, this is what he says. He says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, verse 20, from the rudiments of the world, why is though living in the world, are you subject to its ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all things will perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. These things have a show. Listen, y'all. These things have a show. They have a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any way able to satisfy, to deliver you from the generational curse, to deliver you from what happened in your house, to deliver you from your husband walking out, or deliver you from a life of sin. These things cannot deliver you from that. Amen. Listen, the word of God, when it's preached, when it's taught, we must apply this word. We must take this word back. We must apply this word in my home, in my own life first, in my marriage, mm-hmm. with my children. And guess what? It's the word of God that as I see things attacking my daughter, see things attacking my sons, it's the word of God. Well, listen, we're going to stop, shut it down. Sometimes I just call a prayer. We need to pray. We talk. We get around. Guess what? We need to deal with the curses, deal with the territorial spirits, deal with the approach that's attacking my children. What good is it for me to preach my brains out in the pulpit and go through the motion and have the church packed out? I want my soul delivered. I want my marriage delivered. Amen. I want my children delivered. Amen. It's about our deliverance. It's about our conforming. It's about my dying that Jesus. Christ may live his life through me. We've got to be delivered. Set your affections where? On things above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication. You can't go around shacking. You can't shack. Lustful spirit. The spirit of lust can't stay in Community Baptist Church. That spirit can't, we can't, listen, if I can live a certain lifestyle in community and come and sit under the preached word and leave out comfortable, something is wrong. Many churches in our land, many churches even in this area, it's a carnal mess. We just come for an emotional feel good. Pump me up. Nobody's delivered. No, there's no conviction, whether it's a spirit of gossip, whether you hold it on. How in the world can you sit in the church and not speak to somebody? Listen, you're not even speaking. And some people were running from the responsibility of dealing with people in our family. You know something's there. You know something's wrong. And guess what? You're like, well, I got my church over here. Got my circle of people that I'm, yes, I thank God for the church. Mm-hmm. I thank God for love. I thank God for fellowship, the spiritual family. But guess what? The front of the first mission fields is the mission field in my home. And then outside of that, my extended family. Amen. Mm-hmm. Evil conspicuousness. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Amen. He says, mortify these things. Right? Mortify these things. Mortify these things. When he says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, listen, the wrath of God is coming on you. And so when we talk about these things, even myself, things that, there ought to be nothing to compete for the attention, for my attention to God, not even my wife. Mm-hmm. And guess what? And vice versa for her. When Paul says, he says, I'm leaving all these things behind that I might win Christ. He says, all these things have become dumb. And that's in here. And when he talks about idolatry or just going after other things or things in my life, it could be spending too much time watching TV. It could be spending too much time gossiping on phones. Whatever it is that's competing for God's time can be or is an idol in your life. Idolatry. That's what he's talking about. Listen. And when he says here, when he talks about that, he says, mortify these things, which is idolatry, for the sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked sometime therein. Whether you're saved or unsaved, even after you're saved, those things that you used to walk in, you can't walk in no more. Amen. And then we wonder why people are bound. We wonder why people are walking around with clouds over their heads. with the spirit of bitterness because of unforgiveness in our hearts. Amen. We have things in our hearts, things that happened in the past, things that we've not fully surrendered and turned over to God. Amen. We've got to know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this air, spiritual wickedness in high places. Because we see in the book of Job that the devil is an adversary. He's the adversary. He's the accuser of the brethren. And we see him, he was walking around going to and fro. To and fro. Listen, and when he was going to and fro, he was looking for a spot, a crack or crevice to put his foot in. Amen. Mm-hmm. Listen, and when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, right? It's a hoard. Let's turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Listen, we've got to love one another. Matthew 18, right? Says this, verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So he just threw a way more bigger number out there. Listen, and I'm telling you, when we talk about the can't help it, when you're broken to the love of Christ and what he's did for you on that cross, and we talk about the operation of baptism, that's what we're going to try to get to, talking about how when the Holy Spirit comes in, it baptizes us onto the cross, onto co-crucifixion. Right. And then we go into the bed, to the grave, that's co-buried. And then we're risen with Christ, that's co-resurrection. That's where we live. That's my life. And when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, guess what? We're going to appear with him in glory. Guess what, y'all? God is blessing my home. God is blessing my family. God is blessing me. Guess what? I don't care nothing about the materials. I don't care nothing about the money. Okay. Listen, it's not about that, but it's about a spiritual relationship. And many times when we have sicknesses and disease and stuff going on in our hearts, in our life, check your spiritual condition. Check your heart.
Amen.
A lot of times when I was in the hospital, that was God's time to sit me down, to take inventory of my flesh, that it would be crucified. It's about our deliverance. It says here, therefore, the kingdom of heaven, verse 23 of 18, is like a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which he owed 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had to be payment because of the debt that he owed. It was going to put his whole family in bondage because of the debt that he owed. And guess what? I read when this Bible says that he owed, what he owed was $10 million. It was a debt that he couldn't pay, right? Therefore, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. He cried out, and the Lord, and I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved. That's Christ. Who is he giving this parable? Jesus Christ is giving this parable. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. Y'all see that? Look at these words. It loosed him. He was loosed and forgiven him the what? Debt. And listen, many of us have debts. We have debts and bondage and baggage hanging over our heads. And so if we go back, listen, put your finger in Matthew chapter 18. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. For let's pick it back up. Verse 12 says, for you are buried with him, Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him where? From the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened. That means he made us alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. And guess what? Family member, our unsaved co-workers, our unsaved family members, stop looking at them like it's like, oh, well, they ain't saved. No, you've got to look at them like they're dead. Listen, y'all, community, we've got to win the loss. And the way we win the loss is living uprightly before them and not being afraid to witness. Who is it that you, that God is in place in your life to witness to? Or do we just walk around, well, that's them? Do we do that? So back here in Colossians, right? When it says here, we were quickened together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. He forgave. I was a whole mess. Maybe you wasn't a mess. Maybe you had it together. I didn't. Forgave me of all of my trespasses. He forgave me of all my trespasses. He blotted out the handwritten ordinances, the law that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way by what? Nailing it to the cross. So what? They remember what you used to be. But you just tell them, God nailed it. My past,
all right.
He nailed it.
All right.
My lust spirit, he nailed it.
Amen.
That
my lust
spirit, he nailed it. That gossiping spirit, that can't get right. That spirit of unforgiveness, he nailed it to the cross.
Jesus.
He put the sin, he paid it for us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross and having spoils. Principality. Listen, we were bound to the grave. We were bound in our sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Sin stung us. Death bagged us. And the grave held us. And the law pronounced us. Amen. He took all four of them out of the way. Right? He took the power of the whore. He slayed it open. He released. He loosed the captives. He set them free. Amen. And a triumphant victory through in Roman was when the war was when those fighting, and this is where this comes from, right? Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show over them openly. Y'all see that word? Triumphing? Triumphing. Over them in it. He triumphed. And what triumph means, listen, when there would be a Roman victory, they would come back, right? And they would have a parade in the street. And all those that made it back and their families, they would march through the street in triumph. And guess what? When Christ died, gave up the ghost, said, it is finished, the devil started shaking in his boots. We have power, God, over the grave, over sin, over death. You don't have to yield to temptation. You don't have to hold on to that stuff. You don't have to walk in darkness. You can't forgive. You don't have to keep gossiping. You don't have to keep habits. You have the victory. The power behind that, the hoard behind that, he abolished in his flesh the enmity of his soul. Thanks be to God who always causes us to what? I am. Where? In Christ Jesus. Amen. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of day. Amen. You have triumph. You have victory in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to finish reading 18. The servant therefore fell down, worshiped, saying, Lord, patience with me. I will pay thee all. Knowing good and well, he couldn't pay it. Nobody could pay it.
That's right.
Good and well. You ever cash a check or you write a check 4 days before you know the payment's due? Be praying, Jesus, I'm going to pray on that check. Please don't bounce. But we couldn't pay the debt. That's the forbearance that we were talking about on Sunday. Went all the way back. Deacon Wright was talking about this. All the way back. The blood of Christ covered.
Right.
The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him. Y'all see these words? He loosed him and he forgave him, number two, and number three, from his debt. Loosed, forgave, and delivered him from his debt. That same servant went out and found one of the fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Here he owed $10 million that was forgiven him. And I'm telling y'all, I know somebody that stopped speaking to somebody for $50. And I said, brother, I'll give you the $50. That's what Paul did with Onesimus and the slave owner, right? The slave broke him. He took off, right? And he had a debt with the slave master, right? But he was a good man. It wasn't slave like slaves and slave masters now. That's not the kind of slavery we're talking about. More of a servant type of slave. And you know what Paul said? Paul said, no. He said, how much does he owe you? He said, how much does he owe you? Check the books. Man, I'm going to pay his debt. Listen, if it'll bring reconciliation, I said, man, I'll give you the $50. And guess what? That's the position we're called to reconcile. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not to beat somebody up over owing you money, but the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants. He wasn't even his servant, his fellow servant. Mm-hmm. And when he owed him 100 pence, as if he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison that he should pay the debt. So his fellow servants went back and told the Lord what had happened. Then verse 32, then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you of all the debt because thou desiredest. Shouldest not thou have also have compassion on thy fellow servant? Y'all, we got to see people through Christ. Stop seeing people through your eyes. Stop dealing with people the way they dealt with you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I don't care what you've done to me. I love you. Amen. We got, listen, so what? Don't wait for them to call you. As soon as they call me. No. Call them.
Amen.
Listen, I had a preach one time. And I couldn't study right. I couldn't get in the word. Nothing was making sense. Guess what, y'all? Guess what I had to do? Pick up the phone. And I had to call this person and apologize. And he says, shouldest thou not have compassion on thy fellow servant? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. That means all that wrath came back on him. Amen. All that bondage came back on him. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from the heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Amen. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen, we got to make the first move. Amen. What good is it to be religious? What good is it to go through the church? What good is it to put your best outfit on it? Listen, it's not about what we can do inside the church, inside them four walls. I'm challenged to get out of it. When we leave out of that church, we're going into the mission field. We're going back to our homes. We're going back to our houses. And guess what? We're going to our jobs. We're going to our schools. We're going to a place that we can reconcile somebody, lead somebody to Jesus Christ. And when Christ's light is flowing through you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. When Christ's light is flowing through me to lead somebody else to Jesus Christ. And I heard Minister Tobin say this, not just to witness, to be a witness, but we also need to know how to lead them to Christ. You ought to be able to, by now, we ought to know how to also lead them to Christ if the opportunity presents itself. Amen. We are his vessels. We are his workmanship. Created where? In Christ Jesus. For the purpose of what?
Good work.
Amen. That's it. Let us look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you. We bless you, praise you, honor you. Oh God, we exalt you, but to know that you are God all by yourself and beside you, there is none other. God, we pray, oh God, as we get and study your word, that you would continue to drill down in our heart. David said, "Hi, Lord, thou desire truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden place to make us know wisdom." Help us, oh God, break the stony places, oh God. Break up that fallow ground, because why would we hide anything in us from you? You know all. You see all. You see the very depths of our heart. So, God, if there's anything in us, anything in me, not looking at anybody else, but things in my heart, areas, high places that need to come down, low places that need to come. Father God, help us to be honest with you in our words. And where we are, to take inventory, to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. God, and it's our deliverance through brokenness and death that breaks the horde and the wrath that even hangs over our head. God, we pray that you break every shackle, that you loose every chain. Oh, God, even where the enemy comes in like a flood, that you would raise up a standard against him, oh, God. We thank you for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and even thoughts, wrong thoughts, bad thoughts, lustful thoughts, thoughts of guilt, thoughts of regret, thoughts, oh God, even of sin or whatever. God, pulling down them things and bringing them under subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ when our obedience is fulfilled. We pray, oh God, that you continue to just speak to us, go with us, lead us, guide us, oh God. Conform us into being the people that you've called and created for us to be. God, we pray that you personally, oh God, give us a Damascus Road experience that we will know without a shadow of a doubt. I can look at something right now in my own life, something that I was dealing with, and I saw where you delivered me from it. Oh God, I can recall and look back. Even David recalled when you delivered him from the bear and the lion, oh God, that this uncircumcised Philistine, this giant is no match for you, because we're not doing this in our power. We're not doing this in our strength, but it's by your spirit. And as David stepped out onto that field, oh God, with one stone, he slung it back in that slingshot, and it hit Goliath square dead in the head. God, help us to have that same faith that we can recall and look at past victories to see even right now, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whatever it is, that stronghold must come down by our faith in you. God, you're able to do it. You're able to deliver, and you are able to set free. I thank you because I personally see you working in my life. I personally see you doing something in me. I personally can have a testimony to know that you are real, oh God, in my home, in my marriage, and in my children. Hallelujah. God, we lay hold to your promises. Hallelujah. We lay hold to eternal life. We lay hold to your word, oh God. Oh God, things that happen in houses, things that happen in homes, and generational curses, territorial spirits, hexes and vexes and roots, oh God, spirits of unforgiveness, oh God, spirits of habitual sins, oh God, we bind and rebuke them things right now. We take them in under the authority of your spirit.
Put them up under the blood,
we plead the blood of Jesus Christ, that you would just continue to loose us and set us free. Show yourself strong. Oh God, even in all of our lives, you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think of, according to the power that works in us. For it's in Jesus' name and for sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. Yes.